Well, first, I would like to wish all of our mothers a very happy Mother's Day. There's a beautiful blessing in the church's Book of Blessings that I'd now like to give to all of our mothers. So if our mothers, grandmothers, and godmothers could please stand for the Mother's Day blessing. Loving God, as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless these women, that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's thank God for our wonderful mothers. I came across a letter written from an Irish mother to her son. Dear son, just a few lines to let you know I'm still alive. I'm writing this slowly because I know you can't read fast. You won't recognize the house when you get home since we've moved. Your father has a lovely new job with 700 men under him. He now cuts grass at the cemetery. There's a washing machine at our new house. It's not working too well. Last week I put in 12 shirts, pulled the chain, and haven't seen them since. Your sister Colleen had a baby this morning, but I haven't found out if it's a boy or a girl, so I don't know if you're an aunt or an uncle. Your uncle Mick drowned last week in a vat of whiskey at the Dublin distillery. His friends tried to save him, but he fought them off bravely. He was cremated, and it took 4 days to put the fire out. I saw the doctor last week, and your father went with me. The doctor put a glass tube in my mouth and told me not to speak for 30 minutes. Your father wanted to buy it from him. It only rained twice last week, the first for 4 days, the second for 3 days. We had a letter from the undertaker. He said if the final payment on your grandmother's grave wasn't paid in 7 days, up she comes. Signed, your loving mother. P.S. I was going to include a $10 bill, but I had already sealed the envelope. So I think that's a cute letter. Well, today, I'd like to focus on this beautiful gospel, John chapter 15, and it's all about love. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Well, how did the Father love the Son? It's an eternal love. It's an unconditional love. It's an unselfish love. And Jesus says he loves us the same way. If you ever want to know how much God loves you, just look at a crucifix, Mother Teresa said. Look at the crucifix and you see just how much God loves you, totally, unconditionally, unselfishly. That is the kind of love that God has for us. But then Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Well, what word does Jesus use for love? The New Testament was written in Greek, and there are four words in Greek for love. In fact, if you want to read a good book about this, C.S. Lewis, remember the one who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia? He wrote a book called The Four Loves. And in that, he describes there are four main words in Greek for love. Jesus uses the word agape. Now, he could have used, there's other words that he could have used that he didn't use. For example, he could have used the word love one another, and he could have used the word philios, right? Philios means brotherly love. You get the word Philadelphia, right? City of brotherly love. Unless you're wearing a Redskins jersey, and then it's a city of brotherly shove, right? So philios is brotherly love. Jesus didn't use that. He didn't say just love each other like brothers and sisters. He did not use the word in Greek storge, which is more like patriotic love, or the affection that you'd have for your family or for your country. He didn't use the word eros, a romantic love. He used the word agape. Agape is a very important Greek word, and it means this total, sacrificial, self-donating love. So it's an unconditional love. And that's the kind of love that he says that Jesus has for us, this agape love, this total, unconditional, sacrificial love. And Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. That's the kind of love that we're called to have for each other, this self-giving, self-donating, sacrificial love. One of the best definitions that I've come across for love is desiring the highest and greatest good for the sake of the beloved. Isn't that a wonderful expression? Love is desiring the highest and greatest good for the sake of the beloved. That means that if you truly love somebody, you want them to get to heaven. That is the highest and ultimate good. You want their salvation. So if you love your children, you want them and you desire above all things for them to get to heaven. Your grandchildren, your spouse, you desire them to get to heaven. So love is this very important, in fact, you could summarize the whole Bible into love God and love your neighbor. All Ten Commandments are boiled down into love of God and love of neighbor. So it's also important to remember about this word that Jesus uses here, where he says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you, and also love one another, is that this love is not merely an emotion or a feeling, right? Because true love is much more than that. Because God cannot command you to have a feeling. He cannot command you to like everyone. Isn't that good news? That you don't have to like everyone, but you do have to love everyone. You might not like your spouse on certain days, right? But you still have to love your spouse. That's why they say, love is blind and marriage is the great eye opener. Okay? Now, it's not always easy to love, but you have to love. Jesus says, and it's much more than a feeling or an emotion. Love is an act of the will. Love is a decision. Gary Smalley wrote a great book called Love is a Decision. So realize that. See, I'm sure Jesus didn't feel like dying on a cross. Nobody feels like dying on a cross. But he did it as an act of love. See, love is a decision. It's an act of the will. That's why God can command us to love one another as I, Jesus, have loved you, he says. Then he goes on to say in the gospel, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. See, how do we remain in God's love? By keeping the commandments, by following the commandments. That's how we remain in the state of grace. That's how we remain in the state of sanctifying grace, the state of friendship with God, is by keeping his commandments. And then if we do that, we remain in his love. He says, I have told you all this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. You know, joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's much more profound and much deeper and much richer than any kind of pleasure. Joy is something eternal, something divine, something heavenly. Joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Mother Teresa always said, joy is spelled J-O-Y. And you have to get that right. J stands for Jesus, O stands for others, and Y stands for yourself. So always keep that in the right order. Always put Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. And Mother Teresa says, then you'll be guaranteed to have that inner joy that only God can give. So he says, I give you a new commandment. Love one another. There is no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. See, isn't that the ultimate form of love? Self-sacrifice, suffering. And that is the way in which we show that we love others, if we're willing to sacrifice ourselves for others. Even to lay down one's life for one's friends. The Lord did that on the cross. The Lord showed the depth of his love by dying on the cross for us. No greater love. Maximilian Kolbe did that for a man in Auschwitz in the concentration camp. He gave his life for another man. See, there's no greater love than to be willing to lay down your life for another person. In my last parish of Holy Trinity, we had a father who died saving his son, Mr. Vanderwoody. His son is a priest, Father Tom Vanderwoody. Mr. Vanderwoody, they were out in the farm, and his youngest son, Joseph, who's about 25, 27 years old, Down syndrome, he fell into an old well on the old farm, and a cistern, and Mr. Vanderwood, the only way to get him out was to actually go in there and hold him, and he was under the water pushing up Joseph in order that people could pull Joseph out. And they find by the time they got Joseph out, Mr. Vanderwoody had already passed away, giving his life to save his son. See, there is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friend or for your family or for your son. See, that's what the Lord says today. There is no greater love than that. Then the Lord goes on to say, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." So if we keep the commandments, we remain in the friendship of Christ. He says something interesting. "I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing." See, this is a very important distinction. We're no longer slaves, we are friends. We are sons and daughters of God. If you want to listen to a good CD, it just came out by Dr. Scott Hahn. It's called Allah or Abba. The fundamental difference between Islam and Christianity. Okay, Allah or Abba, right? See, as Christians, God is our Father. He is Abba, right? He's our loving Father. For many of the world, God is Allah. And so their understanding of God is so different. Their understanding of God is that we're God's property or God's possession or God's servant or God's slave. And God is Allah. God is the taskmaster. That's so different, so foreign from the Christian understanding of how we see God. God is our Abba, our loving Father, our Heavenly Father who loves us so much. So try to get a copy of that CD. It just came out recently. Allah or Abba. The fundamental difference between how we look at God and how others look at Almighty God. So then the Lord concludes by saying, "I have called you my friends, and I have chosen you and appointed you to go out and to bear fruit, fruit that will remain." So we're called to become saints, to bear fruit, to be virtuous, to be holy, to do acts of charity, acts of generosity, acts of kindness, to bear fruit, to evangelize, to get souls to heaven, to help save souls. That's the fruit that the Lord wants to see in our life. So I pray today that on this Mother's Day, when we think about motherhood and what that love of a mother for her child means, and then you think of God's love for us and Jesus' love for us, so always remember what true love is. True love is much more than feelings or emotions. True love is a decision. It's an act of the will. True love is agape, this total, unconditional, sacrificial love, the kind of love that God has for us.